This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Kip Allen.
And I'm Andy Bates.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
how can we use internet media as a resource for the sake of the gospel?
This week marks the anniversary of the 1667 reinstatement to pastoral leadership in Berlin by Lutheran theologian and hymn writer Paul Gerhardt.
It's said that there are no atheists in foxholes, but you'll be sure to find chaplains at a combat zone. I'm Kip Allen, and I'll tell you about a Lutheran Army chaplain serving in Afghanistan later in the broadcast.
And now today's Fast Track.
The Lutheran Church Synod of Nicaragua, or ILSN, opened its fourth convention on the 9th of January at the Mission Center in Chinandega. The convention theme is, "Let us walk together in proclaiming the gospel." The ILSN says 22 congregations have been planted since it arose from missionary work of Lutheran Church Canada in 1997, with further mission stations begun by the Lutheran Church Synod of Nicaragua in Costa Rica and Honduras. Special guests from Lutheran Hour Ministries and from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod were also introduced at the ILSN convention. LHM and the LCMS are said to be planning deeper cooperation with the expansion into Honduras. World Lutheran News Digest has been chronicling the work of Reverend Thomas Crist, who is working to become a missionary in Singapore. Thus far, things have not progressed as quickly as had been expected, due in part to visa problems that are said to be common in Singapore. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says, "I know the plans I have for you." It is that promise that keeps us assured our future is secure with Christ, and Pastor Crist says the delays in implementing plans for his permanent placement in Singapore will not deter them. Crist maintains that he will continue seeking a way for this work to go forward despite the challenges. From the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany, or SELK, comes the news of the death of Provost Gerhard Hoffmann at the age of 77. Hoffmann served the Lord as a youth pastor, as a pastor and pastoral superintendent, as a provost, and as a member of the SELK Law Commission. Gerhard Hoffmann also recently retired from a position as a commissioner for the SELK in the German federal government. Members of the SELK Church Board leadership are meeting in Hanover to discuss the overall 2014 agenda for the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church. The board will discuss allocation of funds and some personnel matters as part of the routine plan for the new calendar year. But one of the more notable items will be addressing the development of a new hymnal for use in SELK parishes.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
At the 2013 Rural and Small Town Mission Conference of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Reverend Jonathan Fisk of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, was asked to present on the use of internet media in the church. Having researched media ecology, Pastor Fisk explained and dispelled myths about the internet and what it can and cannot do.
Things that are good in the first article created world that God made, things that he gave us as gifts, aren't necessarily good for everything. And so our task as Christians, if we're going to use them in service of the church, is to learn what they're good for. The internet, radio, TV, they're not good for everything. They're good for certain kinds of communication. To realize that the internet isn't maybe the silver bullet that you think it is, that blogging is kind of already dead in many ways. Just putting up something on your website isn't necessarily going to pull visitors in. So what the internet won't do by itself, but then what it does do, it's an advanced communication tool that is incredibly powerful for spreading ideas. But then recognizing it does this work without you. And so you can't make the internet spread your ideas. The internet will spread your ideas if your ideas are worth spreading, if people think they're worth sharing. And so the goal of a pastor, a Christian, a person who wants to use the internet in any type of Christianity, is to make sure that whatever you're putting out there is of high value, of high quality, so that people will like it, will share it, and then more people will hear it.
So what does the internet have to do with being Lutheran?
And whether you're talking about the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, what baptism is, what the Lord's Supper is, this stuff is powerful. And so I think we're really well placed to embrace who we are, and this medium is going to do what radio did a long time ago, terrestrial radio with Lutheran Hour Ministries. It was catapulted. Why? Because he was preaching Christ. Now he was preaching Christ crucified. So to recapture that and recognize the internet's good for that.
How can internet media be useful for the church, especially small congregations?
Not everybody has to be the one making the media. You can also just use the media that's out there, whether it's KFUO, whether it's Issues, etc., whether it's Pirate Christian Radio, whether it's Worldview Everlasting. You've got others out there creating discipleship materials that can be used all week long, that when people find this stuff and start using it, they devour it. They can't get enough of it. Our best members at Bethany, our most committed young members at Bethany, are all people who listen to one form or another of Lutheran podcast radio. And as a result of it, they're more committed. They're not less committed to Bethany. They don't think Todd Wilkin is a better pastor than their pastors. They come to Bethany and they love what, because we're saying the same thing that's being said on Lutheran radio.
Podcasts have been described as a successful medium. Why is it attractive to young people?
I can't be somewhere at 3:30 in the afternoon every day, 5 days a week. Even though I do work in an office, I also have stuff out of the office I got to do. Podcasting allows me as an individual, whether through my iPhone or just through the internet website, to go and find the shows that I want to listen to or watch. And I do this on TV. Netflix does this. Netflix has just made millions on this. To go and find what I want to watch, when I want to watch it, hit click, and there it goes. This is the way that young people view media, period, now.
What makes internet media work?
If I hear about something from a friend, you need to watch this show, I go watch it. And this gets back to that publish then filter reality, that quality floats on the internet. And it floats by word of mouth. And so by putting out something that's worth hearing, you're going to have people pass it on and then listen to it.
How can we use internet media as a resource for the sake of the gospel?
We have been blessed with so much wealth, and I fear that we've made an idol out of these things. At the same time, some of this, I think, has to do with a loss of Lutheran identity. We don't realize the gold that we have in our theology, and it hasn't been taught in some circles for a long time, and so I don't blame individuals for that. But I did not read the Augsburg Confession or the Large Catechism until I was at the seminary. As a young Lutheran man thinking about going to seminary, how is it that I've never been given these things to read before? If we have good stuff, let's get it out there. We have these resources. We have a publishing house that's ours. We have a radio station that's ours. Let's recapture these and use them for the putting the content out that we know it changed the world 500 years ago. It still will do that. Let's speak it fresh in these new medium, and it'll do something.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Beautiful music is the art of the prophets and the gift of God, which can calm the agitations of the soul. Martin Luther said that, and here at KFUO Radio, we believe it. That's why we're now providing beautiful classical music and sacred classics online at classic99.com. It's our gift to you, 24 hours a day. Check us out, classic99.com, a musical ministry of KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Lori Lewis. I'm excited to tell you about my new show, Culture and Christianity. Each week, we'll visit with artists, authors, musicians, scientists, pastors, and more, and we'll discuss how we, the church, can bring to our culture a conversation of joy and life. There'll even be a time for families and kids. I hope to encourage you to explore the vast world of the arts. Join me for Culture and Christianity, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. here on KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടി ആകുന്നു. യാ വിശ്വ ലൂത്രൻ സമാചാര ഹൈ.
History. In the Reformation and since, there have been many influential theologians and writers who have helped to shape the Lutheran Church. Today we offer up one of those stories in a series of segments we call
Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow
on WLN Digest.
This week marks the anniversary of the 1667 reinstatement to pastoral leadership in Berlin by Lutheran theologian and hymn writer Paul Gerhardt, after he had refused to sign a compromise statement from government officials.
Dr. Joseph Hurl is Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska, in the United States. He's a published hymnist and composer, an editor of hymnals, and writer of the book Worship Wars in Early Lutheranism, Choir, Congregation, and Three Centuries of Conflict. Dr. Hurl has also studied the life and hymns of Paul Gerhardt.
Gerhardt was assistant pastor, the German term is deacon, at St. Nicholas in Berlin. And this was a Lutheran territory. It was part of the electorate of Brandenburg. The pastors were Lutheran. The people were Lutheran. One person who wasn't Lutheran was Frederick William, who was the ruler of the territory. He was the elector. He, along with his family, had converted to Calvinism several decades earlier. And so he wanted the territory to be at peace between the Calvinists and the Lutheran confessions. And so he issued an edict that said, Lutheran preachers, you are not allowed to preach against Calvinism. Well, Lutheran preachers, some of them did it anyway. Gerhardt wasn't one of them. He didn't stir up trouble, but he also felt that he could not go against his conscience by signing the elector's edict. And so he essentially told the government, I'm not going to sign the edict. So the government removed him.
Putting things into context, the 1600s were a contentious time as the Reformation moved across the European continent.
Lutherans at the time were constantly running into theological controversies because Calvinists were a real threat in many parts of the Holy Roman Empire. So this is nothing new for Gerhardt or for Lutherans and Calvinists in general. It came to a head in this territory, in Brandenburg, though, because the elector cared so much about religious peace. He really wanted these two sides to put aside their disagreements. And the Lutherans said, no, these disagreements go to the essentials of the faith, and we can't compromise on what we consider essential.
Historically speaking, Paul Gerhardt lived in a time period in which the movements of Luther's Reformation was very impactful. Not everything was well.
The most devastating war in Europe before the 20th century. The economic impact was huge, and the war's privations hastened the spread of disease. Estimates say between half and two-thirds of the population of Central Europe died between the combined effects of war, disease, famine, and economic displacement.
But it was Gerhardt's hymn writing that was being noticed by church pastors, cantors, and musicians. And after the Thirty Years' War, the publishing of hymnals brought his hymns into focus across the German countryside.
His hymns, by and large, are hymns of comfort. And this is exactly what people needed in this time following an absolutely horrible war. His hymns also have a very personal aspect. It takes the theology of the church and brings the individual into it in a very personal way. For example, his hymn, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, which is a great hymn in English because it was written by Paul Gerhardt, who's the greatest or one of the greatest hymn writers in German, and translated by John Wesley, who with his brother Charles are the greatest hymn writers in the English language. And he talks in this hymn about the love of Christ and the desire for Jesus to reign in his own heart. The text is, Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. Unite my thankful heart to thee and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, thine alone I am, be thou alone my constant flame. With the request that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone. So it takes the church's theology and makes it very personal.
We look back at Paul Gerhardt and ask, what was special about his hymns?
He was a very fine poet. He just could write wonderful poems that are well-constructed with great imagery. They were very devotional as bringing the theology of the church and making it personal. What's especially significant about him, though, is his theological integrity. He really understood what the Christian faith is all about, and he's able to take that and explain it in his hymns in such a way that is not preachy, but is very personal, but he also gets it right, and he nails the most important things.
In the 21st century, it should be noted, the impact of Paul Gerhardt is still felt throughout Christianity through some of his most famous hymns, such as O Haupt voll Blut und Wunden. O Sacred Head Now Wounded.
During his lifetime, he was known especially as a faithful Lutheran pastor, but also as a hymn writer, that is, a writer of hymn texts. And today, he is regarded as the most important writer of hymns in the German language after Martin Luther.
It can be said that hymn writing from luminaries such as Paul Gerhardt yesterday influences today and will continue to help shape the writings of tomorrow's Lutheran hymnists as well.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Johann Sebastian Bach once said, "The aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul." We're providing some glorious refreshment 24 hours a day online at classic99.com. Great classical music and sacred classics originating from these historic studios of KFUO Radio. Check us out, classic99.com, a ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work that he will longasi Lutheran Fihawa.
Army Captain Michael Fries is a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor ministering to American troops serving in Afghanistan. Fries has a clear vision of his mission.
Bringing Christ to soldiers in a time when they are alone and facing these large life and death and large world politic questions.
Fries's mission is particularly important during the Christmas season when soldiers are far from home and loved ones and face constant danger. Fries holds regular devotional services to help soldiers' spiritual well-being.
I lead services every week, church services, whether they're devotional services, divine services, or even having Bible studies.
How is it possible to hold services in a barren, remote part of a distant country without a church? Well, it's not a problem for Fries.
When you think of church, you typically think of a nice, large building, beautifully maintained, art and brick and wood. Well, my church is a little bit different.
How different? His church building is an army tent.
My church is a brown and tan tent. It's in a dome shape, and it's large enough for 50 people to sit down in there.
Most people are familiar with the normal trappings of a church, altar, pulpit, lectern, and the like. None of those were available when Fries set up this tent church, so he and other soldiers built them.
We actually, by hand and with lumber, built the altar, built the pulpit, and built the lectern.
Chant or not, Fries says there's no mistaking it for anything other than what it is, a house of worship to hear the word of God.
We wanted a very physical, very visual reminder that when people came to this tent, it was for worship. It was for focusing upon Christ and his sacrifice for us.
Fries is a soldier. He shares all the hardships and trials of his fellow soldiers in a remote and primitive terrain.
We are in a remote location away from all cities, all towns, virtually all civilization in Afghanistan. So we live and operate in tents.
Things that most Americans take for granted are missing there. Simple things. For example, water.
In the Army, we have to have large trucks bring the water to our base, and then they fill up these big balloon looking water containers that hold up to 5,000 gallons of water.
Because there are no permanent structures at the base, the soldiers, including Freeze, work, eat, and sleep in tents.
We sleep in tents. So it's not your little camping tent. It's a very large tent, sometimes can hold 30 soldiers.
As a chaplain, Freeze's duty station is the chapel. He may be needed at any time, night or day, at a moment's notice. For that reason, he sleeps next to the chapel.
I sleep in a tent connected to the back of the chapel tent, so I can stay right there. It makes sense for the chaplain to be near the chapel.
His personal sleeping quarters are no bigger than a closet.
So I have a small room that we put up wood walls. It's about the size, well, I can reach across my room. So it's about the size of the span of my arms. And I have a cot and sleeping bags and a trunk to put my clothes.
Soldiers serving with Freeze are all volunteers. They're putting themselves in danger for an ideal. But they don't let danger and harsh conditions damage their morale. As Freeze says, soldiers will always find fun.
Soldiers are resilient. They will always find fun. It doesn't matter how dangerous the atmosphere, how austere it is, how secluded they are, they will always find ways to have fun.
These soldiers are people who carry weapons while on duty, ready to fight at a moment's notice. But many of them are still teenagers with all the desire for fun and relaxation of their civilian counterparts.
One of the ways that my soldiers enjoy spending their free time to blow off steam and to relax is in the weight room. A second way, as these soldiers are about 18 or 19 years old, is to play video games.
Soldiers find themselves in situations that demand moral guidance and understanding. Freeze, as both a soldier and a pastor, has a deep understanding of these needs. He approaches his duty with a sense of humility and thankfulness.
It's rewarding. It's humbling to sit across the table from a soldier and for them to look to me for answers with meaning, answers with foundation. And only Christ and only His Word in the Scriptures can give them that. And it's an honor to be God's spokesperson.
Wars come and go. Soldiers will always seek answers. God's message is eternal. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.